the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. Most of the believers in Corinth were extremely excited about their faith. There were people with tremendous gifts in the community, and there were teachers and healers and those who could speak in tongues, and there were those who could lead in worship, and there were preachers, and there were those who had the ministry of healing, and others who could prophesy. And the word of God was proclaimed every day, and folk prayed, and the gospel message itself was wonderful. And the word that said Jesus had risen from the dead, and that all who believed in him would receive forgiveness for their sins and live eternally in his heavenly kingdom with him, everything you needed for a vital church was happening in their midst, but for one thing. The church failed the taste test. It didn't have enough sugar in it. It didn't have enough love in it. The 13th chapter of Corinthians is probably the favorite wedding text of all time. I think every wedding couple in the Christian world has read it during their wedding ceremony, and with good reason. It is a wonderful, wonderful chapter. But when Paul wrote it, he wasn't thinking a whole lot about weddings, and nor was he even really trying to describe what love is like, though he does do that. Rather, he was trying to show the Corinthians that in the end, nothing matters more than the answer to the question, are you living out the love of Christ? Love. That kind of love has for us. It is a yardstick. It is a measure. It is a norm of our faith, our trust in God. And the folk in Corinth seemed a little lacking in something in the love department. Despite all of the wonderful things that were going in their midst, despite all the spiritual wisdom that seemed to be around the place, despite all the faith that folk claimed to have, there were some strange things going on. Like the man who was sleeping with his stepmother, and the two elders who had dragged each other off to court instead of making peace with one another, and some folk really didn't behave all that well at the meals that they held in memory of Jesus. Some ate too much, some got drunk, and others went hungry. And then too, this was very troubling. There were public disagreements about which of the apostles and teachers who had come to Corinth were the best and which were worse. And there were some folk who believed their contribution to the community of faith was more significant than the contributions being made by others, and their views on things should be considered first because of that. And then there's while others felt like they weren't important to God or the church at all because they didn't have the gifts or the talents or the wealth to offer that they thought they should have. In short, people in Corinth were at times rude to one another. They were impatient, arrogant, greedy, selfish, egotistical, and unkind. And this even though they had otherwise displayed some very wonderful spiritual gifts. And this even though people were healed at their meetings and the word of God was proclaimed and people were clothed and fed and prayed for. It is a hard word to hear at times, this word from 1 Corinthians concerning love. What a way to start an annual meeting in Corinth. I had a like prayer when I put that sermon part together and knowing what was going to happen today and a good sip of coffee. Think of what it says in 1 Corinthians, that chapter which you read, you had no idea I was going to talk about this. That's the way it should be. It doesn't matter if you have faith enough to say to a mountain, move, and it moves, or if you have not love. If you don't have it, you have nothing. It doesn't matter if you can speak out for God, if you know all mysteries and can heal all diseases and do so, if you have not love, it avails you not. You have heard it before, my friends, probably from every preacher, pastor, or priest you've ever listened to, but hear it again and hopefully hear it fresh from me. Love is the test of our trust in God. Love is the test of our faith. Folks know we are Christians by our love, and they know that we are something less than fully Christian by our lack of it. What is love besides the being the touchstone of our attitudes and our actions? Well, love involves seeking the highest good for God's creation. God first, neighbor second, self last. That's the order. God, neighbor, self. Love is being more interested in the well-being of others than our own. It is seeing everyone through the lens of Christ and treating them as Christ has treated us. Love is the test of our faith. It is the test of our community, and it is the test of each one of our lives. I want you to take the test. Do we compare what we do for the church to what others are or are not doing? Do we ever speak out about how some folk just seem to take up space as if somehow the value of what we are doing is greater than what they are doing? Do we ever think some folk here are better than we are, and some are worse? Do we call down some of our neighbors and then praise up others? Do we treat those who are slower than we are with impatience and less reverence? And those who are quicker than us or more well connected than us with more reverence? There is always more growing to do, my friends, at St. Stephen's. More growing in faith and love in the test of just how much growing there is for us to do. Listen, I want to put your name into today's passage from 1 Corinthians where your love is described. I want you to think about yourself and see just how much you agree with it and just how much more traveling along the road of spiritual growth and understanding you need to do along with me. But I'm speaking to you. Love is patient. Love is kind. George, am I patient? Am I kind? Hillary, I am not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. Sue, I am not irritable or resentful. Bill, I do not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoice in the truth. Paul, carry. I endure all things. That is quite something, isn't it? Trying to say all that about yourself once in a while, and in saying it, trying to avoid the words most of the time, or almost always, as in most of the time I am patient and kind, or almost always I am not rude or resentful. Maybe you don't feel loving. Or do the caring thing anyway. You don't care for that either. You don't feel like being kind and say something nice about the person who is being rude to us anyway. Don't think that someone else's plan will work and that your idea is better. And just let them do it regardless. You don't think some can possibly do what God is calling you to do, start doing it anyway. Bless you over there, whoever it is. My kindness to you. There is a saying, fake it till you make it. Or as Paul puts it, not that Paul, but St. Paul. He might have said this too, our Paul. Earnestly strive for the greater gifts, the greatest of which is love. Strive for it. And live as if you have it, for in truth you do. Christ died to bring it to you and to show you what it is like. And he rose from the dead on the third day to show that his power is greater than the power of sin. And when you confess Christ as your Lord, God comes and abides in you and gives you the ability to abide in him, to abide in his love, 1 minute, 1 hour, 1 day at a time. Turn to God. This past week, I had been with a family and with a person who is dying, and not of this parish, but in the community. And the person said, I'm scared. And I said, what are you scared of? Are you scared of death? No. No, that's all right. You're scared of dying, aren't you? Yes. Never share it with the family. I spoke to that person separately. Scared of dying, yes. I'm having seizures. I know it's the lack of oxygen, and I know it's because of my smoking through all my life. Person is medicating themselves by drinking, doesn't want morphine. I said, all of that, I just took it aboard. Then I said, turn to God. Ask his help to pass the love test. I had shared it with him, but not like I, in specific words, I said to you. Ask him to help you to pass the love test each minute of each day. Ask his help to abide in him as he abides in you. And we talked about the abiding. The love test. I had to take away the fog of his anxiety. The fog of his scaredness. And to show him his abiding in God as God abides in him. What are the scripture readings today, my brothers and sisters at St. Stephen's, on our 110th annual meeting, and my second one with you. Amen.